All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our MLB podcast for Wednesday, April 26th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
Austin Varney.
And we are from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short, here to help you get started, continue winning on DraftKings and or FanDuel. As always, if you've listened to this podcast before, you know you can head over to the site and grab a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by our good friends over at Lineup Lab. That's going to give you optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. MLB. It also includes our NBA projections while the playoffs last, and then you stick through it through baseball season, and it rolls right into football. It's all covered under one subscription blanket. So we think we're about as good a deal as you'll find in the industry. Free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. DFSR.com/MLB. Austin is here for his first podcast of the year. He was a regular guy on the podcast last year. And then we've just been slowly rolling into the podcast this year. We'll be on more frequently going forward. How's it going, brother?
Pretty good, pretty good. Looks like a pretty fun slate. So
yeah, this is a good one. I think we're going to. I'm a little gun shy right now because I was telling you off the air a second ago. James and I had recorded like 25 minutes worth of podcast yesterday, and then his computer just like broke or something, and we weren't able to upload the audio. So I'm sitting on pins and needles here, hoping that we're able to get through this one. Hopefully your computer is better than his. I'm just gonna assume that it is. So we're gonna talk about. We're going to skip the early afternoon games, which is like the 1 o'clock, the 2 o'clock, and the 6 o'clock game.
Yeah, or 1:40. Just play Eric Thames. I'm sure he'll hit another home run.
Yeah, he's going crazy, man. Like, thank God the system picked up on him early because he...
I remember I texted you on opening day about that guy.
Yeah, well, he was in optimal lineups, and he was a guy we had written up, and I was like, yeah, I guess we're just going to go with it. I was like, we're just judging him off his Korean numbers. Like, I don't really know how to like formulate a really good projection on him. That's a guy that you were just like kind of lucky to be bullish on, I think. Yeah. I mean, not you. We were lucky to be bullish.
It was like, I remember just seeing he hit an insane amount of home runs, and I was like, hey, he's 2,100. Might as well take a shot.
Well, I had done like a deep dive on him because I was really trying to make sure that our projection was correct. And like, yeah. I had found this one article that had said like there was only just like this weird footage of him. Like, it was really hard to even tell like if the numbers were real because like they don't even broadcast the games that well, or it was hard to get your hands on video. Anyway, yeah. Lucky to be on the right. Baseball is a game of literal inches. I consider it to be like a solid projection, but I will also consider it lucky because we've been on the wrong side. Anyway, play Thames, and then there's some other like McCullers is a decent pitcher on that early slate, I think. But otherwise, we're gonna concentrate on the 7 p.m. So 7 p.m. we got a couple cool things going on here. It's got some good pitching. Or a couple good top end pitchers, and then we have obviously a game in Coors, which we'll get to when we talk about stacking. When we're starting off at pitcher, where do you see? So last night I was trying to judge Kershaw's ownership percentage heading into cash games, and I'm always low on these things. I think I said it was going to be like 65%. I think it ended up being like 50%. Is there a guy like that on the slate tonight? Like, do you see Syndergaard as something along those lines? Like, what are you feeling about like the top end cash game pitcher?
Yeah, I think Syndergaard is probably going to end up being popular. There's no one else that really stands out. There's a couple other guys that have upside and a couple guys that are somewhat safe. Carlos Martinez has weather, so he's kind of wiped off a little bit. But Syndergaard is just by far better than anyone. It's not really talked about, but he's went away from his fastball this year. He threw it almost half the time last year. He's only thrown it 22 times. And actually, his sinker that he gave up a 360 wOBA against is now his main pitch, and he's dominating with it. So I don't know if he's just changing his entire repertoire or what, but he's been much better against lefties, and his strikeout rate hasn't dropped at all.
Yeah, and he hasn't walked a guy yet this year, which is pretty phenomenal. I mean, he's 26 innings in without a walk. The ERA is right in line with the xFIP, right under 2. I mean, he's on that level just below. I mean, there's Kershaw, and then there's I would say actually still like a pretty significant drop-off, but then there's Syndergaard right after him. Would you call him like the second best pitcher in baseball right now?
At his best, yeah. I don't know if I would take him as the second just because of his injuries, but I think when he's healthy, he's probably the second best.
Yeah, his numbers are crazy. So I think that you see him. You don't have to pay the huge premium. I mean, it's 11.5 on FanDuel is not cheap necessarily, but you can. There's still ways, especially on FanDuel, there's still ways to save through a batting order. And I don't know if you think of it this way, and I thought a lot about this yesterday, but just with Kershaw in general, but. In general, if it's the difference of taking a high-priced bat and paying for a little less, say, like a cheaper pitcher, or you just take one cheaper bat and get that next-tier pitcher up there, like which would you rather choose for cash games? Would you rather have like the steady arm that's not going to deviate too much from his mean, or do you want to try to like jam Harper and take a cheaper pitcher, if that question makes sense?
99.9% of the time, I'll pay up at pitching, unless there's like Bryce Harper against Jared Weaver or like something stupid, and I don't think the pitcher is that much. Like if it's like Chris Archer and he still has a ton of variance, I might go down, but generally pitcher.
Yeah, no, I think I'm there too. With guys like Syndergaard and Kershaw, there's a. I'm trying to think if there's other guys that fall into this category. I guess Kluber doesn't really, but Scherzer's another good example, right? So these guys where you are just getting, they're so much better than typically, like even just the next closest guy, and a lot better than some, say someone in the middle tier. I think I'm fine paying a slightly higher premium on the pitcher just to get some of that safety. Syndergaard definitely falls in that category. I can see him 65% owned, maybe more. It's a little closer on DraftKings where you do have to pay. I think, you know, having to roster that starting pitcher too gets it a little confusing. He's 12-6 over there, so you're going to need to wiggle around some little more stuff on DraftKings. But on FanDuel, I can see him being pretty popular. He's I'm pretty sure he's the biggest, highest money line guy. Yeah, he's -196 right now. Braves, they have some guys who really won't K. I mean, Freeman's a good bat in the middle of the order. Markakis doesn't K that much, but they don't really have any power at all. Like, they don't really have any bats that's scary besides Freeman, who's an elite hitter. But go ahead.
I think they might strike out more this year. I mean, they added Kemp, who strikes out about half the time against righties, and then Adonis Garcia, he's finally healthy. He's a strikeout machine against righties, and then Flowers and Swanson. We don't really know much about Swanson, but Flowers definitely strikes out. As long as he can avoid Freeman and Inciarte running around the bases on him, then he should, I mean, be able to go 8-9.
Yeah, Inciarte doesn't really K, but you're right about the Braves having increased their strikeouts a little bit over last year. Last year, they were one of the lowest in the league, and now they're like right around the middle of the pack against righties. So I think Syndergaard, you see him as a pretty much a chalk play. After him, where else can we look in this, like, well, everyone else is a tier down in terms of cost, but where, when we get past him, where else can we look for pitcher?
I think looking at it last night, Carlos Martinez kind of jumped off the page, but he's got some pretty bad weather right now. So if that ends up being clean, it doesn't look like it will for pitching, then he's a good option. But I'm liking Dylan Bundy a lot against the Rays. I don't think he had big expectations coming into the year. He's obviously a huge prospect, but I think people expected him to take a couple more years, and he's been dominant. He's held a 237 wOBA against righties and lefties, striking out almost 9 batters an inning. The Rays aren't good. Held the third highest strikeout rate last year at 24%, and they're in the same spot this year. So I see a lot of upside for him. He's still young, so he can walk guys, and they do have a couple guys that can hit it out in Camden. But
yeah, his K rate for his career is just a tick over 8. It's down a little bit this year, but the sample size is pretty small, so I'm not looking too much into it, I don't think. Like, he's around 7 Ks per 9 so far, but it's only 26 innings, so there's a lot of reasons why that hasn't probably normalized yet. The encouraging sign for him, he's really not walking anyone this year. So he's, if you want to look at the sample size and like declare it, like how he's going to be going forward, which I'm not going to do, but whatever. He's K-ing less guys, but he's also walking like a third of the guys that he walked last season. So when you can get your control, if for young pitchers, obviously control seems to be, is like the number one thing you need to figure out against major league batters. I can see it. I don't mind it. The Rays have been decent. The ballpark's not great, but our system does really like Bundy, especially starting pitcher too. I think, just circling back to Carlos Martinez, I think that, yeah, you're going to want to keep an eye on the weather. If the weather like clears up, or let's say like you get the forecast is there, does it worry you at all that, hey, so the Blue Jays, you can hear me stumbling because I'm trying to formulate the question here, but the Blue Jays have been so bad this year, right? Like, they've been about the worst in the league against righties, really just against anybody. They're striking out a ton. They really don't have anybody. If you got a clear weather bill, would you feel comfortable playing Carlos Martinez in cash, like, and fading Syndergaard in that situation?
Personally, no, but I don't hate it. I'm trying to figure out if the Blue Jays are bad or if they've been bad. The lineup, they might just be bad until Donaldson gets back, but I think Syndergaard's still far away the best option.
I think they're bad. I kind of wrestled with this over. And this is one of the things that got lost in the podcast we did yesterday because we talked about this for a while. But it's one thing to kind of run bad with good hitters, and that actually happened to them first over the course of the season last year, at least for the beginning of the season. Basically. But this team is like they went from like Donaldson to Goins. Let's say, I know that's not like the even swap, but like that's who they sort of replaced in the lineup. Encarnacion to Kendrys Morales, which is definitely a step down. they just don't have anything at the top of the lineup with Pilar and Ezekiel Carrera. Bautista struggled. Let's even call it, let's say he's running back, and let's say he's the same. Even if he was the same, the rest of that lineup is so much worse than it was last year. And I just think they're bad. Like, I don't think that they're, I don't think there's like that big, a big turnaround we're waiting for them. I just like don't see it happening at least until Donaldson gets back. And even then, like the lineup's still not that great. So I think I would actually, it'd be close for me. I'd rather play Syndergaard. I definitely would probably roster them both together on DraftKings if I got if I got the weather just being clean. But yeah. Carlos Martinez, he's run a little bad. The Ks are kind of elite. So that's one that I'll probably take a look at a little bit more over the course of the day. He's striking out over 12 batters per nine, but he's also walking a ton of guys. So I don't know. It's more just like the Blue Jays. So we got Bundy, Martinez. Anyone else that you can kind of, that jumps out to you here? Like, you know, Lester against the Pirates. These guys, anything kind of striking you here? Or that the names we threw out there, that's kind of the list we're going to roll with?
For cash games, yeah. I think in tournaments, there's a lot of guys with good stuff. Lester, Paxton, Severino. All those guys have really good upside, but you obviously can't count on them.
Yeah, Vincent Velasquez has some K stuff. Yep. He should be going against Miami today. That game got postponed, so they just pushed everyone back. So yeah, there are some other interesting arms here, but this is one of those things where I personally, when I see a pitcher at the very top of the scale in terms of just like safety and just career peripherals and just pedigree, a guy like Syndergaard, those are the nights that I feel much more comfortable playing a little bit more in cash, just because that is just, the pitchers are the way to decrease your variance, right? Like hitting, it can be a maddening venture to try to figure out. But when you get those stud arms on pitching, you kind of just want to, that's really where you want to load up. Let's dive into some stacks. So we have another game in Coors. Yesterday, obviously, was a total run free-for-all in Colorado. But in that game, there was just a million runs scored. Detroit also put up a million runs. I'm going to ignore them because I don't think people will get too carried away with Detroit. But Colorado is a place where you can score runs, and we saw, I think, Turner hit for the cycle last night, and they just put up a million. Do you think, when that happens, do you think that people tend to then go overboard in their ownership? So a guy like Trey Turner, he was great yesterday, and he was a good player. Like I played him, so don't get me wrong there. And I would probably play him again. But do you think people will tend to like overthink the thing that the guy did yesterday?
Yeah, it's pretty funny because like if there's a 2-3 game, everything is, you know, it's cold, it's suppressed, it's early in the year, this isn't a hitter's ballpark yet. And then it's 15 to 20 or 25 to 100, and it's, you know, back to Coors Field in the summer. So it's really up and down. I tend to want to roster them after a low-scoring game when people are going to be off them and scared. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's going to be any of that here. I'm thinking if anyone's paying down at pitcher, it's going to be just a force in Colorado. And even on, like, FanDuel, you can fit in some Colorado guys with Syndergaard.
Yeah, I think that I always caution people against this because there's really no, like people will say, you got to play so-and-so, he's so hot right now. There's really nothing to that idea, right? Like it's been long proven that you really can't qualify streaks, and you can't even figure out like when they're going to, like if streaks are so good, why do they stop, I guess would be my question. So I would caution people about saying, you know, getting into the trap of, He's swinging a hot bat right now, or Trey Turner's looking great right now. Yeah, he was great yesterday. It doesn't necessarily and he's still in a good spot today, so don't get me wrong. Guy, again, I'll probably end up rostering him just because I still think he's a solid play. Awesome. But I want to caution people about going overboard or feeling like what you said, like the idea where, oh, I can't play Syndergaard here because they're going to score. I mean, they scored 27 runs last night. They're going to do the same thing again today. They're just not going to score 27 runs today in course. So I would just really try to caution people. You mentioned the Nationals, the Rockies guys, are they in play for you as well here?
Yeah, but I'm not going to force them in at all. If they work, they work. I think Blackman's my favorite. Cargo finally got on the board last night. He's fine, but they're probably my fourth or fifth favorite offense, to be honest.
Yeah, that's kind of where they're falling in here too. I did a quick study. I'm going to start writing an article about just price increases and how, the sites FanDuel and DraftKings tend to, how much that they are correcting the price on guys that when they go into Coors. I think I did a real quick look yesterday. Over the last year, you were seeing something along the lines of a 25 to 27% increase on average pricing for guys that went into Coors. I need to drill this down a little bit because there's some noise in those numbers. But the obvious thing is when guys go to Coors, their prices jump dramatically, and it's just not always correct to play them. So we want to focus on Coors a little bit. They're both in good spots. They have obviously the highest implied run totals of the day. But probably just don't go overboard. Where else can we look to stack some teams if we're gonna either fade cores or we just need to maybe just get a little bit of value because the guys haven't been totally overcorrected with price?
Yeah, I think there's a few spots. I don't think anything really stands out after that. I guess there is Chase Field. I like the Diamondbacks a lot. I like a few of the Padres a lot. But I don't think there's one offense. I think there's a couple guys that I want to throw maybe two, three pairs from a couple different teams instead of just running a full stack.
Yeah, run some of those down. Throw out a couple of those like mini stacks.
I love Peralta Lamb with like a maybe a Pollock. He's pretty even against righties. Ryan Schimpf is on FanDuel just way too cheap against Zach Godley. He's not good against lefties. His numbers are from Petco Park. He's moved into Chase Field. He's probably my favorite play at second. And then after that, I like Texas. Hector Santiago has given up 52 home runs against righties over the last 2 years, which is just insane. And Mike Napoli destroys lefties. Cargo, Light hits lefties well. Ryan Rua is a pretty good punt in the outfield if he's going to be hitting sixth against him. So those are probably my other two favorite offenses.
Yeah, I was kind of Diamondbacks or bust last night. I didn't feel great about it going in, like staring at that Coors game. It actually worked out because you just got a good deal on them. If Coors doesn't go crazy, it looks a lot better. But I'm still on the Diamondbacks today. I like what you said about the Rangers. Rangers are a team to me that always strike me as our system generally likes them. I think that I probably tend to think that they're a better offense than they really are. I'm still trying to come into grips with like, you know, how good of an offense really are they? They have real bats in there. You know, Chu and Mazzara, more lefty bats there. You know, you mentioned some of the righties. I wonder if sometimes I'm just like a little too bullish on the Rangers, but it really can't be overstated that ballpark really helps them. And when we're looking at run lines, if you're looking at just implied runs for the day, so in Colorado you have. I think they're like 11.5 or something like that. I'm just looking at it real quick. Yeah, they're 11.5 with the Rockies about 5.8, and then the Nationals at 5.7. Arizona 5.2 and Texas 5.1. It's less for sure, but those guys are priced significantly less too. And so, yes, you don't get as much of the crazy insane upside probably, but you get plenty of value there as well. Any other stacks you like, guys that are standing out to you? Maybe just like some real off the board stuff that people aren't going to really. They're not going to jump out to him, especially in a game with Coors, but just anything else jumping out to you?
I'm going to have some Ender Inciarte in tournaments. Syndergaard's horrible at holding runners. He probably won't get on first, but if he does, he's basically guaranteed a home run with second and third being stolen. So I think he's pretty interesting in the outfield, maybe 1% owned. And you really can roster Syndergaard with him in a tournament because him scoring fantasy points doesn't really mean Syndergaard's going to have a bad day. So I don't mind that. And then I like the Mets lefties against Tehran. You know what you're going to get out of Tehran. He's horrible against lefties and great against righties. So Conforto, if he gets the leadoff spot, Granderson, I like both of them. Oh, yeah, I also like the Phillies. I mean, Wee-Yin Chen's not a horrible pitcher. He eats a lot of innings, but fact is he's moving into Citizens Bank Park. It's much worse than Marlins Park. These righties aren't too bad on Philly. I don't think I like them as a stack, but if you want to throw a Tommy Joseph, a Franco, a Cameron Rupp against a lefty, I think at least one or two of them will hit a home run against Chen.
I think people tend to, it's sometimes those middle pitchers. Like Chen is actually a really good example of just like this kind of a guy, right? Like when you're just kind of a guy, you tend to get overlooked on both sides of the spectrum because very few people on this slate are going to, you know, kind of roster Wee and Chen and just like feel even remotely good about it. But going the other way, he's like just good enough that you're not going to go crazy stacking Phillies bats against them. I think sometimes those kind of situations do present good opportunities because everyone just kind of forgets about the game in general. Does that make sense? Like you don't want the pitcher, but you don't want to go against the pitcher. All those middle tier pitchers, like everyone kind of falls into those categories, and then you kind of just end up skipping the game. Yeah. But hey, look, you can put runs up in a game. Like the Phillies can put runs up in this game. So I do think I kind of like that idea about rostering some of those righties. I think Tommy Joseph's a guy that right now is just kind of coming into optimal lineups just on his own. So I really like that idea. I think I tend to, for cash games, I don't go too crazy off board with stuff like that. I want to just roster teams with the highest implied run totals. You know, in this case, Nats, Rockies, although they're a little too expensive, Diamondbacks, Rangers, like you said, those are the teams that we're kind of looking at. But you know, kind of going off the board stacks, not too crazy, and I think you need to have some purpose with it. Like you need to know, you know, this is my goal here. I want to get I want to get some Phillies at like 6% or less owned. I'm going to put them together, and I'm going to get big separation if they kind of do go off. I think you need to put some thought into that, but I definitely like the idea. All right, we're going to cut it short here today. We're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short. You head on over to the site. You grab a free 3-day trial to the projection system. It's powered by Lineup Lab. That'll give you optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. MLB, it also covers you for NBA. And then football, when the time comes, you're all set to go. Hey, Austin, great to have you back on the show, man. It felt like long time no talk, but you'll be back a couple times a week going forward, so looking forward to that. All right, everyone, enjoy your Wednesday baseball. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
See you.